Hi, everybody. Happy Sunday evening. Yeah, we've had a nice time. We had Norma Clark here. She left yesterday. And then we have Danielle and her mother Francine are still here. And tomorrow Myron arrives. So we've been having a nice time. I really felt to show Francine the area, especially since she's going to be going home and leaving her daughter here. I thought it would be nice if she had a real vision in her mind of what the area looks like. So we've spent time at Pueblo Lake. We spent time in downtown Pueblo, Royal Gorge, Garden of the Gods, Old Colorado Springs. I don't know if there's any place else, but we've really been around so that she's got a real good idea of what it looks like. And I think you all heard, if you're on Facebook, you heard that Danielle found an apartment very quickly. She arrived at 9:30 on Thursday morning. And we really found an apartment before, too, because I remember we went there before, too. So the very first place we looked, and it was perfect. So everything is going really, really well here. Dove, today we went to the Center for Inner Peace. This is a place that Dove accidentally found on the Internet while I was driving to Pueblo. He said he was going on the Internet looking for something else, and I guess if I heard him correctly, he made a typo. And when he made a typo, this place popped up on the search called Center for Inner Peace, and he noticed it said Pueblo, Colorado. And we were actually driving to Pueblo, Colorado at the time, so he thought of us and emailed us. And, of course, we thought that if Dove found this place by accident, that must be guidance. So today, Danielle, Francine, and I went there, and we found it. And it's a very nice place. Everybody was very welcoming. It's possible, you know, one person immediately said that she had a gathering room at her facility that we could use. So we may be able to have gatherings here using her room. In about 2 weeks, she wants me to come by and look at it. The minister said something about maybe I could start a book study group at the church. So we'll see if that happens. But it's very possible, of course, that everything's going to just really unfold right there at the Center for Inner Peace. So we'll see what happens. It's Stan, it's very different, of course, than our church. You know, there's nothing quite like the church that we went to in Charlotte. So it's very different than that, but it seems to be what we were guided to here. So we'll see what all unfolds. This is my first night doing Holy Spirit Guides on Sunday night. I've been doing it on Wednesday nights for quite a long time, but now we're going to start doing it during the Sunday night time frame. And tonight we're actually going to begin February 2006 on reginadonacres.com. So what I'm going to do is give you guys a link so that you can read along with me if you want to when I read along. For those of you who don't know what Holy Spirit Guides is, at the request of a friend, you know, a couple years ago, a friend named Christine Brennan, she wanted me to start at the beginning of reginadonacres.com and go through all of the messages in chronological order. And so that's what we have been doing. And Regina Don Acres, I believe, starts in the summer of 2004, and now we're up to February 2006. And I read everything that's on there except for, like, announcements and the single quiet thoughts. I skip those, and we just read the messages. So there's still quite a bit of stuff to go through, but we're up to February 2006. What I would like to do before we go in and start looking at the messages in February 2006 is say a prayer. If you all would join me, I'd appreciate it. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I want to say thank you for your guidance. It seems that lately I have been able to witness, and certainly those that are here with me have been able to witness, the miracle of your guidance. You know, it's interesting because, again, all I heard about a year and a half ago was go to Pueblo in a dream. And, of course, I put faith in that dream. I trusted that dream. And now here we are. But those of us who are here are just amazed. That's what we are. We are amazed that at the magnificence of the guidance. And we still don't even know how this is going to unfold. It's still uncertain, unknown for us. But yet we see what a magnificent place this is. We feel the energy of the place, the stillness, the quiet, the peace. And we're amazed. I don't know what else to say. It's just amazing. And I want to thank you for your guidance. And I also want to stand as witness that it is okay to surrender, that our Holy Spirit does have our best interests in heart. The one that leads us to suffer is not the Holy Spirit. The one that leads us to suffer is continuing to listen to our own ego. But when we trust enough to let go, and we trust enough to surrender to the Holy Spirit, we are amazed at the lack of suffering. We are amazed at the love and the kindness and the perfection and the gift of the guidance. The guidance is a gift. It's a gift that even as we remain in our seeming human state, it is a gift. Not only does it lead us from this world and from who we are, but it is enjoyable while we seem to be here. What is it that we fear? Whatever it is foolishness. This I am certain of. There is nothing to fear in choosing to trust our Holy Spirit. The path that we are given when we surrender is a gentle path, like a walk through the woods on a beautiful spring afternoon. It isn't the Holy Spirit that makes us suffer. It is the ego. And the more we let go of the ego and the more we surrender to the Holy Spirit, the more joy we find even as we continue to awaken. I want to say thank you to our love. Thank you to our gentleness. Thank you to our truth. And I ask that we quit believing the false. Let it go, because truly we have no use for it anymore. Amen. And then I open my eyes, and I know Superhero Man wrote this a while ago, but it says, accept no substitutes. And when I open my eyes and it landed on accept no substitutes, you know that's what we do when we listen to the ego. We are accepting a very poor substitute for our truth. So why don't we all take Superhero Man's advice and choose to accept no substitutes, starting right now. All right, let me give you the link again. Maybe a couple other people have entered the room. This will take you to February 2006 at reginadonacres.com. At the top of the page, you'll see something that says, a prayer to my brother. That's actually a single quiet thought. What you can do is scroll all the way down to the bottom of the page. Not quite to the total bottom, but you'll come to a message dated Friday, February 3rd, 2006. It's called Observing Thoughts and Listening. And this is the message I'm going to read. There are some errors in this message. There's special character errors, like the apostrophe has been replaced with some special characters. This has to do with an upgrade recently. We upgraded Regina Dawn Acres to a more recent version of WordPress, and when we did it, things like apostrophes and quotes got messed up. I do have a couple of friends that have been helping me go through and fix them, but it's going to take some time, so we'll have to be patient and read around these special characters. But I am going to read the message dated Friday, February 3rd, Observing Thoughts and Listening. And here's a question that I had for Holy Spirit on that day. Holy Spirit, what is the relationship between observing one's thoughts and listening to you? What is the difference? And where does our real joy come from? So here's Holy Spirit's answer. Observing one's thoughts in a detached way is a first step towards releasing them. Through observing them without an emotional reaction, one can begin to see that one is not the thoughts he thinks. The second step is to let the thoughts go as meaningless. That is, to see the thoughts as the nothingness that they are and have no investment in them. This is another level of detachment, a step away from observing. When one observes one's thoughts, there is still a feeling that they are my thoughts. Although there has also been a decision to remain detached from them. When one dismisses the thoughts as meaningless, as nothing, there is no longer a sense of ownership. For how can one feel he is the owner of nothing? Holy Spirit, of course, is coaching us to allow our identity to shift. We have made the error of identifying with a false identity, which we call the ego, but more specifically, right now in this lifetime, we think it is Regina Akers, Joe Wolf, Lisa Hansen, who else do we have here? Teddy Poppy. We think it's Monica. We think it's Stan. We think it's Karen Worth. We think it's, who else do we have here? Cliff. We think it's Dove. I call it me. I call it me. We call it the ego, but when we call it the ego, sometimes when we talk about it as the ego, we're not recognizing the realness of our belief in it. But if I call it Regina, it touches me more in a way that I see just how much it's true that I think I am that. Right? I am Regina. And that doesn't even sound crazy. It sounds true. But the funny thing is, it's not true. That is not who I am. And all of my suffering comes from thinking that's who I am. So what Holy Spirit wants to lovingly do is help us shift our identity from who we think we are to the truth of our realness. And so what Holy Spirit is talking about here is a two-step process. The first of which is observing the thoughts. And he talks about observing the thoughts without an emotional reaction, which would really be almost advanced observing. Because when we first start observing the thoughts, we do have emotional reactions, or at least that was my experience. You know, I would observe, for example, a hate thought, and I would hate the hate thought, which means I was judging it. I would hate that it was in my mind. So there were lots of emotional reactions. But at least now I'm starting to look. Before, you know, I was just believing the hate and not questioning it at all. But when we first begin to look, there's still a lot of ego in our looking, which means there's still a lot of believing that's me in my looking. There's still a lot of believing that's my thought, and that thought defines me in my looking. So I see the hate thought. I recognize it's a hate thought. And I hate the hate thought. And I hate me for having the hate thought. So what we need to learn to do then is we need to learn to look at these thoughts without the emotional reaction. And Holy Spirit teaches us to do this in a lot of different ways. One way that I was taught was to give the thought to Holy Spirit. That's a symbolic idea, actually. But I remember I would take the thoughts, and in my mind, I would literally put them in a little bitty gift box, and I would wrap them up, and I would give them to Holy Spirit. And I didn't even have a lot of thought about what Holy Spirit would do with it. I just knew that if I gave it to Holy Spirit, it would be taken care of. And what this was the beginning step in detaching from the thought. I may have thought it was my thought when I saw it, but I was able to give it away. When you give something away, you take your ownership off of it, right? When you give a gift to someone, if you do it right, you take your ownership off of that gift. It's no longer yours, it's theirs. So by giving a thought to the Holy Spirit, I took my ownership off of it. And I did that for a number of years. And then I seemed to progress to another stage where I no longer had to go through that ceremony of giving thoughts to Holy Spirit. I began to look at thoughts as just thoughts. This is where the ownership was now beginning to not be there. I don't think I was consciously aware of it, but I was able to look at thoughts as just thoughts. I didn't feel they were me. They didn't define me. They weren't mine. They were just thoughts. And this is where I began to observe thoughts without an emotional reaction. I could see a hate thought come into my mind, and I was able to just see it as a hate thought, but there was no longer the same personal identity connection to the thought where it created an emotional reaction in me. I was ashamed of the thought, for example. And once I was to that point, the next step, the Holy Spirit started teaching me the next step, and that was to see the thought as completely meaningless. And it's very difficult now for me to describe exactly how that happened. But I will tell you that I practiced a lot with my brothers, because at one point, if I saw the ego in me or I saw the ego in my brother, I didn't like it. At some point, the Holy Spirit helped me to see the ego as meaningless, so that it didn't matter if I saw the ego in me or the ego in my brother. It just no longer mattered. I don't know how else to say that. It just no longer mattered. It doesn't mean I stopped seeing the ego. It just means the ego didn't matter anymore. This is where I began to look right past it. I can be with someone who exhibits a hell of a lot of ego. Maybe all they seem to act out of is ego. And it doesn't matter to me anymore. I see it as meaningless. And meaningless also means I see it as not real. There's a knowing in me now that everyone is awakening. And it's not something I have to pretend to do. Once upon a time, it was something I had to pretend to see. Now I just see it. I know that some people seem to be more clear on the Holy Spirit voice within them, and they live from that more. Some people seem to be less clear or not at all clear about the Holy Spirit voice in them, and they live from it less or seemingly not at all. But I'm aware now that that is no real difference at all, because the ego is nothing. It's meaningless. so the ego can show up in my mind. I may even fall for it for a short time. But then when I see what I'm doing, there's no judgment. There's no guilt. Because it's unimportant. It doesn't matter. And that allows me to shift into listening to Holy Spirit again very easily. It's difficult to move back into Holy Spirit if I've judged myself for listening to ego. It's also impossible to love my brothers if I judge them for coming from ego. But when I see the ego as nothing, the love's a piece of cake. It requires no effort, it just is. So Holy Spirit tells us in this message, the second step is to let thoughts go as meaningless. That is, to see the thoughts as the nothingness that they are and have no investment in them. No investment in them really also means no need to change them. No need to fix it. It doesn't mean that, you know, if I see ego in me, as soon as I see ego in me, I'm going to become aware and I'm going to want to stop listening to it. But what might happen before that shift is completely made is that there still may be 5 minutes, I'll say, of kind of making the shift, of shifting from the ego to the spirit. But if I don't have this need to fix that we're talking about, I can accept that 5 minutes of shift. It's kind of hard because we're talking about need and now we obviously have a desire. I have a desire to shift back into spirit, but it's not the same thing as that need to fix that comes from a judgment of bad or wrong. So I have that desire to shift back into spirit, but I can be patient for myself if it seems to be a bumpy getting out of that ego thought back into spirit. Because there's no need that comes from judgment. And I can also, again, be absolutely patiently loving with my brothers. I don't have a need for them to change. I may see the ego. I may see how it's making them unhappy. I may have a loving desire for them to place the ego aside and listen to spirit because I know what that will do for them. But it's not the same as that need to fix, that need for them to be different now. It's another level of detachment where I have no investment at all in the thoughts, which includes no judgment against them. So again, Holy Spirit says the second step is to let the thoughts go as meaningless. And I really want to highlight the word meaningless because so many of us have difficulty accepting that the ego is meaningless. What we do is we see it as bad. And that's the ego. The ego judges the ego as bad. The spirit sees it as simply not true. Meaningless. The second step is to let the thoughts go as meaningless. That is, to see the thoughts as the nothingness that they are and have no investment in them. This is another level of detachment, a step away from observing. When one observes one's thoughts, there is still a feeling that they are my thoughts. Although there has been a decision to remain detached from them, like when I gave them to the Holy Spirit as a gift. When one dismisses the thoughts as meaningless, as nothing, there is no longer a sense of ownership. For how can one feel he is the owner of nothing? I see everyone's commenting on the dog. Yeah, I don't know what the dog's barking at. She ran upstairs barking, so I have no idea. But there are people up there, so if there's something to be taken care of, I'm sure they'll handle it. let's go on to what Holy Spirit says next. From this, okay, from this seeing the ego is meaningless, from this, a space is created in the mind. This is a space that says, I do not know what I am. And with this, an opening is created to realize that which you are. This is the experience of oneness. In your world, this may be called the experience of enlightenment. This is where your real joy comes from. It comes from the experience that cannot be denied because you have chosen to accept it. It's amazing that as we cling to our ego thoughts, as we are absolutely certain that we are right about our opinions, our ideas, our perceptions, what we are really doing is we're holding to a false identity. We don't see it that way. We don't stop to see it that way. If we stop to see it that way, we would drop our opinions like a hot potato, because they're keeping us from the light of our truth. But we don't stop and ask, what am I doing by holding this opinion? What am I doing by believing this idea is true? When we first start to look at our thoughts, it seems like the thoughts we look at first are those that cause us pain, or at least that was my case. But we have to look at a lot more thoughts than just the ones that cause us pain or that seem to cause us pain. The truth is they all cause us pain, but you know, we're aware that our unworthiness thoughts cause us pain. We may not be aware that our values cause us pain. We don't think of them as causing us pain. I remember I did a teaching on this recently. But we'll recognize that our values cause us pain when the value is taken away, when we can't get it. You know, a simple example is coffee. Many of us know that coffee is something that many of us value. We love that cup of coffee in the morning. We love that cup of coffee a certain way. And we don't really think of the cup of coffee as being something we need to let go of, a thought we need to let go of. I like coffee. Does not seem to be a thought I need to let go of. It does not seem to be a thought that makes me unhappy. We don't think about it being a thought that builds our identity. But if you ever can't get your coffee, there's not happiness there. And, you know, I first discovered this when I was staying in Boston. A woman was really kind enough to let Laurent and I have her apartment for a whole week. She moved out and let us have her apartment for a whole week. It was so generous. But she didn't drink coffee. There was no coffee. There was no coffee pot. There was nothing that I could do to make coffee. And I had to go out in the snowy cold, get in the car, and drive through traffic in the center of a crowded Boston town. It was not Boston proper, it was Cambridge, but that's still very trafficy, to a Dunkin' Donuts, which was a couple miles away, excuse me, to get my coffee. Excuse me, I gotta have a drink now. And I remember in the morning, those of you may remember Laurent, and you might know that Laurent likes to talk. Well, in the morning when we would get up, Laurent wanted to talk. And so he would stand there talking and talking and talking. And all I could think is, I want my coffee. Shut up. Right? I want my coffee. Shut up. I got to get dressed, go get my coffee. Shut up. And that's when I noticed that the coffee was a problem. I didn't notice it while I had it. I noticed it when I didn't have it. So even the things that we think make us happy don't. They're attachments that, when taken away, make us unhappy. So what we really need to do is we need to learn to look at all of our thoughts, not just the ones that make us unhappy, but all of our thoughts. And we need to begin to question, who am I, or what am I? And we need to begin to recognize attachments that are defining us as something other than our truth. And we need to give willingness to let go of all of them, including the things that we value. And a lot of people feel fear at the idea of letting go of what they value. What they're fearing is the loss of self, little s self. But we can't realize our truth as long as we still think we are that little s self. The loss of self, the idea that that's fearful, is only an idea. Just like the idea that surrendering to Holy Spirit is going to be something bad is only an idea. And these ideas block us from moving forward in the way that we really want to. We want to know who we are, or we wouldn't be on this path. But it's our thoughts, our ideas, what we think we want, what we think we value, who we think we are. Those are the things that are in our way. And so when the idea comes into the mind that I want my coffee, I want to be able to look at that as a meaningless thought. Meaningless. Nothing. And as I see it as a meaningless thought, there is a space that is created in the mind where I don't know who I am. If I'm not the one who wants the coffee, then who am I? And this is the exact space that leads to realization. If I'm not the one who eats low-fat food and exercises, who am I? If I'm not the one who has this power job, who intelligently resolves issues at my company, who am I? Now, the funny thing is, another thing that people fear is that if they begin to let go of these identity thoughts, they will cease to exist, or there will be chaos. That's not true either. In fact, we had a single quiet thought this week that thinking is not reason, stillness is reason. What happens when we let go of who we think we are, whether we've defined ourselves as responsible or irresponsible, a coffee drinker or a tea drinker, a health food eater or a junk food eater, when we let go of who we think we are and we are unattached to these ideas, a guidance can come in and move us, which means we still eat, we still go places, we still work, but now somehow we're doing it happily, truly happily, without attachments, without a need to have it a certain way. And there's this joy that gets born in us, this joy that just doesn't get taken away. So, from seeing the ego thoughts as meaningless, not just the attack thoughts, not just the unworthy thoughts, but any thought that defines me, separates me, makes me different. Oh, this is Myron. You know what? Hold 1 second. 1 second. She's coming here tomorrow, so hold on. Hey, Myron, love. I'm teaching right now. That's okay. I stop in 45 minutes. All right, bye. She's coming tomorrow, so I felt she probably does want to talk about picking her up at the airport and such. But let's go back and look at what Holy Spirit is saying. So he's saying that when we see the ego thoughts as meaningless, and again, you know, a great place to practice is with our values, because we may start trying to let go of my unworthiness thoughts, my attack thoughts. These things are meaningless, but we cling to those values. We cling to what we think we like, what we think defines us, what we think makes us happy. If we can see these ego thoughts as meaningless, including our values, then Holy Spirit says, from this, a space is created in the mind. This is a space that says, I do not know what I am. I just want to stop there for a moment, and I want to tell you that the great peace that fills me when I read that sentence, I do not know who I am. That peace that I feel when I read that sentence is clearly a pointer. It's clearly, clearly, clearly a pointer to our real joy. Remember, a part of my question was, where does our real joy come from? Our real joy comes from, I do not know what I am or who I am. It comes from letting go of all of those self-definitions and allowing that space to open up. From this, a space is created in the mind. This is a space that says, I do not know what I am. And with this, an opening is created to realize that which you are. This is the experience of oneness. In your world, this may be called the experience of enlightenment. This is where your real joy comes from. It comes from the experience that cannot be denied because you have chosen to accept it. Now, my next question was before enlightenment. So before we let go of all of these thoughts, before we see them as meaningless, when we still think we know who we are and what we like and what makes us happy, before enlightenment, how does one listen to you? Holy Spirit says, before enlightenment, one does not listen to my voice fully, because one still accepts the voice of the ego as a valid and reasonable voice. When one listens to the voice of the ego, he is forgetting to listen to me. But even though the voice of the ego is still accepted, it may be put aside for a time. It is during this time that the mind can hear me. Now, this paragraph, of course, describes, at least for me, perfectly where I am. I know, and I recognize more and more every day, that I still accept the voice of the ego as a valid and reasonable voice sometimes. And I can recognize when I'm doing that because I think it's me. I think it's my thoughts. This is who I am. I'm back into defining myself again. When I'm doing that, I'm back into the ego. It may not be attack thoughts. May not be judgments, may not be defense, But I can tell you who I am compared to who somebody else is. And back into ego. But again, if we see that as meaningless, if we do not judge that, we can wake up to what we're doing. We can put that aside. And then we listen to spirit. And we do recognize the difference. We know which voice is right or true, and which voice is wrong or mistaken. We know which voice is our real joy, and which voice isn't. It doesn't compete, except no substitutes. But we do not have to be fully enlightened in order to hear the Holy Spirit. In fact, we do not have to be fully enlightened in order to live from the Holy Spirit most of the time. We do not have to be fully enlightened in order to live from the Holy Spirit most of the time. And it is that living from the Holy Spirit most of the time that helps us to recognize the difference between our truth and our non-truth. Because we will see ourselves when we slip back into our ego personality, and we will feel and know the difference. As A Course in Miracles says, we learn from contrast. And if we are not ready, because we simply just don't know how, to live from Holy Spirit most of the time, then we start where we're at. And we live from Holy Spirit when we can. And that will lead to most of the time. And that will lead to awakening. Because it is the truth. And because we are the truth, we recognize the truth. And so by starting wherever we're at and listening to Holy Spirit whenever we can, we begin to notice the difference between our false self and our true self. And we begin to not want our false self, including its values, more and more. And we begin to want to only be that true self. And a shift begins to happen. It's a shift. A shift begins to happen. Where we begin to see ourselves differently. And as we see ourselves differently, we also see everyone and everything differently. So Holy Spirit says, without judgment, before enlightenment, one does not listen to my voice fully, because one still accepts the voice of the ego as a valid and reasonable voice. I think that's a wonderful sentence for us to just accept without judgment, and then just begin to ask, please show me when I'm doing this that I'm not aware of. Bring my awareness to when I'm accepting the ego as a valid and reasonable voice, as me, as who I am, as right. And help me instead to see it as meaningless. Those thoughts as unimportant. That I may create that space in the mind that allows realization. Before enlightenment, one does not listen to my voice fully, because one still accepts the voice of the ego as a valid and reasonable voice. When one listens to the voice of the ego, he is forgetting to listen to me. We can't do both at once. We can do one in one moment and the other in the next, but we can't do both at once. So if I'm listening to the ego now, I'm forgetting to listen to Holy Spirit now. But if I see what I'm doing now, I can make a different choice in the next moment. But the most helpful way for me to make that choice is to see that ego thought and the fact that I listened to that ego thought as meaningless, unimportant, nothing happened. Then I can easily make the shift. When one listens to the voice of the ego, he is forgetting to listen to me. But even though the voice of the ego is still accepted, it may be put aside for a time. It is during this time that the mind can hear me. Holy Spirit continues, to hear me, you must choose to hear me. You must trust that I am your true voice above that of the ego. So you choose to place the ego aside for a time. This is a time when observing your thoughts can be useful. You can see what you are thinking, but then decide you do not want to listen to those thoughts now, so you put them aside. As you clear your mind of the thoughts you see, stillness is made. It is within the stillness that I shall be heard. Sometimes the thoughts seem to be too loud in my head. Sometimes I can look at thoughts and put them aside, just like that, pretty easily now. But sometimes the thoughts seem to be too loud in my head. I can't seem to just put them aside. So at least what works for me, believe it or not, is if I write them down. It's like I put them outside of me, and then they magically become meaningless on the piece of paper. And I can drop into stillness pretty quickly once I put the thoughts aside. It wasn't like that for me always, though, I must admit. This is why we have all of this writing on reginadonacres.com. Because used to, I needed Holy Spirit, my inner voice, to talk me into putting them aside. I needed to sit down and have a dialogue with Holy Spirit, where Holy Spirit would show me through Holy Spirit reason why that thought was not helpful or why that thought was not true. And then after Holy Spirit convinced me, I could put it aside. That's why we have so many years of writing. The writing that you see on reginadonacres.com is me needing to be convinced by my inner voice. But I had the willingness to listen to and trust the inner voice. You know, that's what we just read in this paragraph. You must trust that I am your true voice above that of the ego. So when I went to the Holy Spirit and I asked the Holy Spirit about a thought and it explained to me how that thought was not helpful or why that thought was not right, what I did was trust the Holy Spirit more than the thoughts, the attitudes, the opinions I had when I sat down. So once I let my Holy Spirit convince me, I could let go of the thought. And that was magnificent work, you know, wonderful work, but a lot of work. The truth is now I don't need that as much, and that's why we don't see as much writing. I don't need the Holy Spirit to convince me to let go of any ego thought anymore. I don't need a logic, a Holy Spirit logic that explains to me that a thought is not helpful. All I need to do is wake up to the realization that the thought is ego, and that's enough. I don't need the convincing anymore. So now, if my voice, my ego voice is too loud, I can just write it out on paper, look at it, say that's clearly ego, put it aside and drop into stillness. And the stillness now I recognize as me, although me is not exactly the right word, which is why I hesitated. I think it's better to say the stillness now I recognize as true. That's a better way of saying it. The stillness now I recognize is true. And I recognize it as universal. And I recognize that all guidance comes from there. That if the ego is put aside, and if time is spent in stillness, why we still seem to be in time, that perfect guidance will always be given, and there's absolutely nothing to fear. Let me read this paragraph again. To hear me, you must choose to hear me. You must trust that I am your true voice above that of the ego. So you choose to place the ego aside for a time. This is a time when observing your thoughts can be useful. You see what you are thinking, but then decide you do not want to listen to those thoughts now, so you put them aside. As you clear your mind of the thoughts you see, stillness is made. It is within the stillness that I shall be heard. Now again, recognizing that we all can't get to the stillness just like that, Holy Spirit continues, if stillness seems difficult, pick a thought of mine that you have read or known from another experience. Focus on that thought. Remain loose enough in your focus that you allow a flow of other thoughts to enter. If they seem related to the thought you have chosen, go with them and see where they take you. That is me, carrying you where I would have you go. But if the thoughts coming in seem to be distractions, observe them and let them go, reminding yourself that you choose not to be distracted now. Return to your thought of focus and wait for the flow of thoughts that comes from me. This reminds me of a section in NTI where Holy Spirit says when a thought comes into your mind, just simply ask, is this thought coming from my heart? And the Holy Spirit says, if you ask, it is the heart that answers. And so if the answer is yes, then listen to that thought, trust it. If the answer is no, then put it aside. We need these tools of discernment in the beginning because we are confused. Because we do think that we are Regina and Cynthia and Dan and Bill. So at first we need these tools, this questioning. But the interesting thing about the discernment is when we are questioning a thought to ask if it's coming from Holy Spirit or ego, we have to be willing to question without thinking, without figuring out. Because if we go into, let's say, our intellectual knowledge of what we learned in A Course in Miracles or NTI, and we try to figure out for ourselves with the head whether a thought comes from Holy Spirit or ego, ego will get in there. And ego will tell you that a Holy Spirit thought is ego. And we will find ourselves discarding the Holy Spirit. So when we ask these questions of discernment, we actually want to do it as if we are asking an other. When you ask another, there's an openness in your mind where you aren't thinking and trying to figure out. You are waiting for the other to give you the answer to your question. There's a pause in your mind. So when we're asking within if this thought is from the Holy Spirit or the ego, we want to ask as if we're asking an other. And then an answer is given. It might be at a level that's just simply called intuition. But because we asked, we can trust the answer that's given. so many people hear the Holy Spirit and doubt it. Hear the Holy Spirit and trust it. As you hear the Holy Spirit and trust it, it grows within you. You begin to recognize it as your true voice. You begin to listen to it more. You begin to live from it more. You begin to be it. And you begin to allow the other identity to slip away as meaningless. It's not who you are. And this is where our real joy comes from. So Holy Spirit is telling us that if stillness seems difficult, we can start by picking a thought. It might be something we read in NTI or A Course in Miracles, or it might be the single quiet thought for the day, or, you know, something. But picking a thought and focusing on it. And allow related thoughts to come into the mind. And as those related thoughts come into the mind, we can simply ask, is this thought reinforcing? Is this thought continuing the thought that I have focused on? Or is this thought a distraction from it? And if we don't try to figure out the answer, if we ask as if we are asking an other, the answer will simply be known. And if the answer is that it is reinforcing, if the answer is that it is continuing, then in that case we want to begin to listen to our own thoughts, because our Holy Spirit is speaking to us. This is where I would grab a pen and begin writing them down. Some people may grab a recorder and start speaking them. A friend this morning felt she had clarity, and she told me she didn't write it down, and later she said she forgot it. And it does seem like that happens. So it does seem to be helpful to capture our Holy Spirit thoughts when they come through. But after a time, that's not even necessary, because after a time what happens is we begin to realize that we don't need to learn our Holy Spirit at an intellectual level. We begin to realize that our Holy Spirit, which is speaking to us during these periods of meditation, is with us always, because it's who we are. And we begin to realize that we do not need to study our Holy Spirit or memorize our Holy Spirit. We only need to turn to it more often. We only need to be willing to put our thoughts aside as meaningless more often, our opinions, our assessments, and ask more often, what am I to do? What am I to say? How am I to see this? And that guidance is always there. It's always there in the moment if we remember to ask. And if a thought comes into the mind that we aren't certain of, we practice in the same way. We ask as if we are asking an other. Is this a thought I should trust, or is this a thought I should let go? And if we hear trust this thought, then we follow it in trust. This is where our real joy comes from not thinking, from turning within to to the stillness, which is the wisdom, which is always there, and letting it guide us more and more and more. And until the point where it's the only voice that we hear, until that point of enlightenment or awakening or realization of self, we just keep doing that. We just keep surrendering in the moment. We just keep putting aside our thoughts as meaningless. My opinion of this situation does not matter. What I think here is unimportant. Holy Spirit, what am I to do? What am I to say? How am I to see this? This is where our real joy comes from. Holy Spirit ends by saying, you will know my guidance when it comes. It will lift you up. Always it will lift you up. And so you will know it is me. My experience is that it is wisdom. And it is wisdom that I know did not come from my thinking. It is wisdom that my thinking would have argued with in many, many situations. In fact, I'm looking, I said I wouldn't read the single quiet thoughts, but as I'm looking at the single quiet thought, which came the exact same day, February 3rd, 06, I noticed the first line is, do not think. So I'm going to read that single quiet thought. It's just below the message. It says, do not think, listen and accept. To think is to think you know, and to think you can decide, because to think is to believe that you are all that you think you are. To not think is to trust that you are more than you think and more than your thoughts. To not think is to allow an opening through which you may discover. That's the single quiet thought that came on the same day as this message, and you can tell that it takes the message and condenses it so that it can be put in a back pocket and reviewed. But the only thing it's asking us to do is not think. To not continue operating in the world with that mechanism as if that is who I am, as if it knows what is right and what to do. Because what thinking will always do is divide and separate you from everything else. You cannot think about, you cannot judge and analyze a person, an item, a situation without feeling separate at the same time. And if you haven't tried that, if you haven't experimented with that, maybe that would just be something fun to do. When you notice that you're looking at a situation and judging it, looking at a situation and analyzing it, trying to figure it out with your thinking, stop and ask right then, do I feel like I am one with this or do I feel separate from it? And you will discover that when you are in thinking, you feel separate from that which you are thinking about. But when you are not thinking, when you are being moved by the flow, moved in trust, there's an intuitive, of course it's not a thinking because you're not in thinking, but there's an intuitive knowledge that you're one with all. An intuitive knowledge, not a thinking knowledge. So it is our thinking that creates the experience of separation. And it is our putting aside of thinking, which is not putting aside of reason or wisdom. It is our putting aside of thinking that brings us into the realization of at least our harmony with all, with the knowing that it's all perfect, with the knowing that I'm being moved in conjunction with other movements that I could not even begin to imagine, but they're all working together for good. And sometimes we get glimmers of that. Sometimes when we follow guidance, we get to see how it worked out perfectly. Sometimes we don't. We can't have an attachment to always wanting to see how everything worked together. Our real joy just comes from that intuitive knowledge that it is. Just being a part of all and knowing that we are. And then there also comes a willingness for whatever. Because we know it's perfect. Yeah, a willingness for whatever. That's when we're really starting to let go of attachments. It's not trying to make things work out a certain way. It's just a willingness for whatever. So again, the single quiet thought says, do not think, listen and accept. I want to look at that second sentence a little bit. Listen and accept. Listen and accept what you hear. Listen and trust. This seems to be hardest when what we hear is different from what we would have thought. You know, when the guidance that is given is very different from what the personality would have done. I've talked to you all about my friend Debbie who's here with me. You know, when the guidance came to invite her to live with me, especially after about 30 minutes of getting to know her, that is something that my thinking mind would have said, maybe not a good idea. Yeah, maybe not what you want. But fortunately, I was already experienced enough on this path to know that Holy Spirit is always right. There's not an exception to that statement. Holy Spirit is always right. Holy Spirit is love in the best interest of the all, which means it's not like if I invite Debbie to live with me that Debbie's going to be helped, but I'm going to suffer. Inviting Debbie to live with me is perfect for everyone. That's the way Holy Spirit guides. It's perfect for everyone. No one is left out of the perfection of that. Jasmine is not left out of the perfection of that. So listen and accept, even if it seems very different from what the personality would have decided. Listen and accept. This is where our real joy comes from. I notice Monica is asking, Regina, would you define ego? Yeah, Debbie is quoting right now a statement I'm sure you've heard, easing God out. But I would define ego as the individual thinking. I think that's a good way to really recognize it. When I'm thinking like an individual, I'm an ego. Yeah, thinking. I mean, you know, so it may not necessarily in that moment have the obvious tone of things like unworthiness or guilt or attack. But if I'm thinking like an individual, I'm an ego. And we listen to it. My God, we listen to it so much. If I feel an urge to go somewhere, and then the thinking comes in that tells me all the things that could happen if I go there and I stay home, I'm listening to and identifying with ego, and I am keeping me from knowing myself, my real joy. I really want to step to the point where I see those thoughts and I look at them as meaningless. Meaningless. to have no meaning. I just want to follow the inner prompting that is God. This is where our real joy comes from. Again, the single quiet thought. Do not think. Listen and accept. To think is to think you know. Let's stop right there. To think is to think you know. How in the world could you know what's in the best interest of everyone? It's foolish to think we know. It's foolish to think we know. Thinking is not reason. Thinking is not wisdom. It is foolish to think we know. It's not possible for someone who's looking at it from an individual state of mind to know what is in the best interest of everyone. It's not possible. To think is to think you know, and to think you can decide. Because to think is to believe that you are all that you think you are. To not think is to trust that you are more than you think. In other words, to think that I am all that I think I am is limiting. To not think is to trust that I am more than I think. Something I couldn't possibly even think about. To not think is to trust that you are more than you think. When I choose not to think, I am trusting that I am holiness, oneness, perfection, beyond error. To not think is to trust all of that and more. To not think is to trust that you are more than you think and more than your thoughts. To not think is to allow an opening through which you may discover. I just want to say thank you to Holy Spirit for this kind and gentle reminder of what our thinking does, of what our judgments do, what our fears do, what our values do. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you help us by prompting us to notice our thinking. Not just the thinking that hurts, but all of the thinking. Help us to notice when we have slipped into personality. And also help us to remember where our real joy comes from. That our real joy is not the limiting personality, but that our real joy is that stillness. That inner peace. That does not think. Guide us to be more aggressive in not believing our thoughts. Guide us to be more aware of the meaninglessness of our thoughts. Guide us to choose not to imprison ourselves anymore. Thank you and amen. All right. I open my eyes at 6:15. That means we get to eat. Yeah. Debbie's saying, let's eat. Okay, you guys, it was fun. I'll see you next week. Bye.